If you got your Bibles, turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Tonight. By the way, while you're turning, I need to mention something. Miss Ruth clarified something for me. Well, I thought I turned it on. I didn't. About the deal with the doors. I was under the impression that if they came in this past Monday, it meant they'd be here this past Thursday. They never said this past Thursday. They were meaning this coming Thursday all along. And I just had a misunderstanding in that. And so I'm not as bad upset that they didn't even call us, tell us why they wasn't coming, if they wasn't ever planning to come till this Thursday. And so pray that they get it, that they got in. I hope they got in, and pray that the doors will get put in this Thursday. It'd be good timing. Amen. If they do get put in. And we can function with what we got, but it's a blessing if we can have them fixed. Amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11 now. Also pray for me. I don't know why that last song, it's like my throat's trying to close up on me. And I haven't been sick, but that don't mean you can't be. And so it feels like it's just closing up on me. I could put a cough drop in. I don't like to do that because I spray my Bible, it gets sticky. I spray my tablet. I spray the pulpit. Everything gets sticky when I got I probably spray the front row. Amen. When I got a cough drop in, and so I don't like to do that, but I pray the Lord to help me with that. And then one more, pray for Melissa. She's been dizzy today, and pray that she'll be all right with that. She has spells with it, and pray that she'll be able to kick it. And I think she's going to try to take some medicine tonight, so pray for her on that. All right, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 17 is where we'll start. Read down through verse 22. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 17, and we'll read it responsibly down through verse 22. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. We'll stop there at verse 22. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask his blessings. Brother Matt, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Thank you, Brother Matt, for that prayer. Well, I've been given a title for each of these sections that we've looked at tonight. The nature of faith, the perseverance of faith, the power of faith, I think, was one of them. Tonight, I'm calling it the accomplishments of faith. And we've been dealing primarily with one person at a time, though we did look at Abel and Enoch together. But we're looking tonight at Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Four generations in the same family, but dealing with their faith. And in this section of the 11th chapter of Hebrews, as we study in this, we see examples of the efficacy of faith, the power, the ability of faith to be able to give us. It enables the believer to, I want to say, survive hard trials, but actually to pass, to get a passing grade in those hard trials. It enables, let me say it this way, it enables the believer to get a good grade in their hard, severe trials, and also to obtain special blessings that they could never have obtained if not for faith, bringing them through those trials. And so that's what I want to look at. This account is in all of these are in the Old Testament, all of them in the book of Genesis, as all of them before it have been up to this point as well. But these are particularly Abraham, dealing with him in these next three verses, as we see Abraham in the account of Genesis 22 with Isaac and the offering up of Isaac, and a very, very familiar scripture, a very sacred, wonderful text of scripture that we can look at. Maybe one of the most well-known, one of the most memorable pictures in all the Bible of faith, but it is condensed All those verses, I think there's about 40 verses in there, condensed into one sentence that makes up three verses here in the book of Hebrews. And so it's a story of amazing faith. It's a story of the manifestation of the power of God. It's a story about a man that trusted God even when he didn't understand what was being done. Amen. And so we're following this account of Abraham. We followed up with his descendants. We got, as I said, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And we'll look at them. And by the way, all these are not told so we'll worship this family. Amen. Not so that we'll worship this family. I thought, as I was thinking about this, four generations. Dad mentioned in his prayer letter about there being three generations of us on the radio, on the mic of the radio at one time or another in that. Those statements are not made to worship a family. It is to show the power of God. Amen. And that faith is not meant to be dammed up. That it's not meant to be shut in and sealed up in just one person. Amen. Faith is to be shared even with others and passed on. Amen. And so I say it's not, when he mentions these men and their lineage or the actions that they did, it's not made that we worship them, but that we might duplicate them. If Isaac was able to duplicate Abraham, then we are. If Jacob was able to duplicate Isaac, then we are. If Joseph was able to duplicate Jacob, then we are. Are you following me on that? And so the point was that we might follow this faith, amen, and this lineage of faith. So look at this now, verses 17 through 19, as I said, one sentence, and I'll read them together and deal with them together. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. By the way, why does he repeat the statement? He says Abraham offered up Isaac. Now he's saying the same thing, but he says he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. I think the reason that he's doing that, he's showing you the perspective. It's not just Abraham and Isaac. It's the promise that's on the line. God's word is on the line. Amen. Verse number 18, of whom it was said, here's why God's word's on the line, because God said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Abraham had another son named Ishmael. Ishmael did not inherit the promised land. His descendants did not inherit the promised land. Amen. Abraham also had sons by Keturah after that Sarah died. The sons of Keturah did not inherit the promised land. Their lineage did not inherit the promised land. God said it's in Isaac. It was not only in Isaac that the land would be, but it's in Isaac that the Lord would come. Amen. Amen. Verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Amen. So these accounts, as I said, all come from the book of Genesis, that all those that we've looked at so far in Hebrews 11. This one's greatly reduced in size. It is condensed, if you want to say it that way. This is the Reader's Digest version of what the Bible said in Hebrews, in Genesis chapter 22. He gives you the condensed version and brings it. He actually gets to the heart of the matter. Amen. To the very core of the matter. Those 18 verses in Genesis chapter 22 tell us a story that really is repeated in these few words that he mentions in Hebrews. But the gist of the matter is that Abraham performed the extraordinarily difficult task that God set before him. Abraham passed his test. He said in Hebrews 11, the very first part of that, by it, verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good report. He's showing you how these men passed the test that God set before them. Are you following me on that? We all have tests, by the way. We all do. There'll be things that happen in our life to try our faith. Somebody said this, I don't know where it was originally said a faith that cannot be tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. Amen. But you can, and you will, have things that will test your faith. Amen. And so he had an extraordinarily difficult task that was set before him. But he also obtained a very important blessing. He got the blessing after that he'd passed the test. And all that was done through obedience. By the way, he could not have obeyed if he hadn't believed. Amen. We see the works, but the works was produced by the faith that we couldn't see. God could see the faith, but we couldn't see the faith without the works. Amen. And so we see that even in Abraham in this particular text and in all these others as well. So Abraham attained a very important blessing, and it was through believing obedience. Amen. He accomplished the will of God by obeying, by believing God. It was faith that enabled him to endure the trial. It was faith that enabled him to pass the test. It was faith that enabled him to believe the promise. Even, listen, God said it's going to be through Isaac. Then he says, give me Isaac. Kill Isaac. God, how are you going to do it? You said Isaac's the one that's going to come through. Abraham in his mind had concocted an idea that there must be something after death. If God's going to let him die, then God's going to have to do something to help this promise to come true after he dies. Are you following me on that? Amen. And so I praise the Lord for that. Amen. And by the way, all this is symbolic of Christ on Calvary, every bit of it. God's only begotten Son. Amen. Tasted death for every one of us. That we might be saved by the grace of God. So he passed the test. He believed the promise. And all this, he obtained the blessing. Now, first of all, Abraham endured a very severe trial. He says there in the first part that Abraham was tried. In Genesis chapter number 22, verse 1, he says God did tempt Abraham. We've dealt with that. I've preached on that text a number of times. And we know that God never tempts people to sin. Amen. God was not offering Abraham a sinful temptation, but he is putting him to an especially hard trial. Amen. A hard test. Let me take just a minute to say this. I know school's either about to start or for some it may have already started. When I was in school, particularly high school, I'll say, well, even in elementary school, the best teachers I had were the ones that demanded the most out of me. That's right. The ones that didn't care wasn't very good teachers. But the ones that expected something and they gave us a hard test was the best teachers we had. Amen. Amen. And I know most of us homeschool, but whether it's homeschool or public school, you ought to thank God if you got a hard teacher. Amen. You ought to thank God for it, because that'd be the best thing for you. Amen. God put Abraham to a hard test. Very hard. Harder, as far as I know, I don't know of anybody else that had this kind of a test put on them. Amen. You say, well, what about Job? I'd a whole lot rather have sores from top of my head to the bottom of my foot than for God to tell me to kill my only begotten son. Amen. I know he lost 10 children, I understand that, but he didn't have to kill them. Abraham's brought to a very hard trial. Can I tell you, I said God never tempts people to sin. The devil does tempt us to sin. The devil tempts people to sin. But God puts our faith to the test, not that he can hurt us. That's what sin's temptation is, to hurt us. God wants to help us by putting us to the hard test. He wants to help us. Amen. He wants to strengthen us and strengthen our faith through the exercise. By the way, I mean, if you're going to build up muscles, you got to exercise those muscles. Amen. If you're going to build up the muscle of faith, you're going to have it stretched. You're going to have it tested. You're going to have it exercised. Amen. Now, I put a note here, and I'm moving on this. I said, allow me to point the difference between the temptations of Satan and God's testing. Here's an example. God told Abraham to kill his son. And I'm bringing it. God didn't say kill it. You know what I'm saying? But God said, offer him as a sacrifice. Well, that means, by the way, two things is going to happen. And Abraham was willing to do it all. Two things. Not only put that knife through his heart, but divide his body in parts and set it on fire and burn it all up to a crisp. Abraham was asked to kill his son. And Satan might tempt me and you to kill somebody. But here's the difference. Satan will work on your mind, and Satan will work on your emotions, and Satan will make you so angry that you hate them to the point that you want to murder them. That's why Jesus said that hatred in the heart is murder already. Because Satan will bring you to that boiling point that you will hate them so much that you want to kill them. God didn't ask Abraham to kill somebody he hated. Are you following me? God let him keep loving him. God said, just love me more. Really? Love me more than you love him. Amen. Abraham was willing not only to slay his son, Abraham was willing to slay all of his hopes and dreams. Put it all on the altar. Amen. Amen. Thank God. But when Satan works on our hearts and minds, he brings in that anger and that bitterness and that hatred towards others. We can defeat that by faith in God. Amen. We don't have to give in to the bitterness and the anger and the hatred. We can overcome that by faith in God. Amen. Here's illustrations. I know how people are, particularly men. When you're driving down the road and you're already exceeding the speed limit as much as is allowable, and somebody cuts you off, instead of getting angry at them, realize this. God the Father in heaven allowed them to do that. And if you can trust the fact that God did that to help you rather than just the devil doing that to make you angry and want to kill them, amen, right, then you can overcome that anger. You can overcome that. You can overcome those thoughts and that bitter thought there. You can overcome that by faith in God. Amen. That everything that God, not only that God does, but that God even allows in our life is meant for good. Amen. If we can do that, and by the way, we can, then we can walk in the Spirit and we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. Amen. All right. Sometimes we talk about God trying men. We say things like this. We say God was testing him to see what he would do. That's not actually correct. God doesn't need to see what we're going to do. He already knows what we're going to do. God didn't test Abraham to see what Abraham was going to do. God tested Abraham for Abraham to see what he was going to do. And then for us to see what Abraham did. Amen. Abraham learned that his faith could trust in God to the very limit, to the ultimate limit. He saw that he could trust God. We see that, again, Abraham trusted God, and he's the father of faith. We call him Father Abraham. Then why can't we do the same? Amen? Amen. I think that's right. Abraham trusted God. This way I put it in my notes. Abraham trusted God for the why, not just for the outcome. He didn't know why. He just trusted it with God. Amen. I'm back to my text, Hebrews 11. By faith, verse 17, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. Abraham did not kill him, but he was willing to. Abraham took him up there with the fire and the wood. They built the altar. They arranged the wood, and he laid Isaac on that. And God accepted it as if it was done, because Abraham was willing to do it. Amen. So he offered up his son. He gave his son to God. That's the point. He considered Isaac dedicated to God. Amen. Even though God had connected all of his promises to Isaac, Abraham recognized he loved the giver more than he loved the gift. Amen. That's important, folks. Listen, that is important. Abraham loved the giver more than he loved the gift. Lord, help us. Amen. When something happens, like the tragedy I was speaking about this morning, I don't doubt that every one of them people loved that little baby. But they got to love God more. I don't know why this happened, but God didn't make a mistake. Humans make mistakes, but God don't. God allowed it to happen, and he wants it to be for good, not for bad. Amen. Amen. So he loved the giver more than the creator. If Isaac, or more than the gift. He obeyed the command of God. Whatever God said, he was willing to do it. If Isaac dies, then all the promises God has made must die with him, it looks like, unless God raises him from the dead, which is what Abraham believed that he's going to do. He says that very plainly that he received him. So look here. He that hath received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Here's how he's able to do it. Accounting. He figured it up. That accounting, that's an accounting word. That's a mathematical word. He looked at his checkbook and he said, all right, for this to add up, here's what's got to be. There's got to be a resurrection. Amen. There's got to be a resurrection. By the way, we would do good to remember this world is not our home. We don't have to have all our blessings in this life. Amen. There's a better world waiting for us once this life is over. This life is for us to lay up those treasures in heaven where thieves don't break in and steal, nor moths or rust come in and corrupt. Amen. We're to lay up those treasures while we're here, but we're not laying treasures here on earth. We're laying them up in glory. Amen. So Abraham knew there's got to be a resurrection. He looked for a better day. That God would answer, and the Bible said he received him from the dead in a figure. You see that? He received him in a figure. Now the writer of Hebrews is implying to the readers, I want you to think about this. He's writing this letter to people that knew this story, but he's reminding them of the story. They looked up to Abraham. He's told them about the different ones that they knew about. They didn't look up to any of the, Abel, Enoch, Noah, none of them were as highly esteemed as Abraham was. But he told them this whole story so that they could recognize, I too can persevere through my trials, even though I don't understand, by believing the word of God and by believing the promise of God. There, as Abraham's, all his promises was laid up in the Son. And all of our promises are laid up in the Son. The Son of God. And he's telling them, you can believe in the Son of God. You don't have to go back to the lambs and the rams and the bullocks. You can believe in the Son of God. You can persevere through your hard trials. And they were going through severe trials, by the way. You can persevere through your hard trials. You can gain and obtain wonderful blessings if you'll just keep believing in the Son. And the resurrection of the Son. Amen. Amen. Abraham knew, I'm going to obey God now. But if God's word's going to come true, then my son's got to rise again. So Abraham's hope was not in the Son, in one sense. It was in the resurrection that God was going to give to the Son. That's our hope, by the way. Not just that Jesus died for us, but that he got up on the third day. Amen. Brother Steve was telling me about listening to some folks, and they were interviewing, and he's talking about, if you could talk to somebody that's dead, who would you talk to? And the very first one they said was Jesus. I said to him, I said, but he ain't dead. Yeah. Now he may be to them. Yeah. But he ain't dead. All our hopes is in that he's alive. We have not just our hope in the Son, but in the resurrection of the Son. Amen. All right, look at verses 20 through 22. We'll tie them together, but then I'll break them up. Verse 20 through 22. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By the way, let me stop just a minute. I mentioned that Abraham had a son, Ishmael, but he didn't inherit the land. He had sons by Keturah, but they didn't inherit the land. Isaac had two sons, and they're both mentioned in verse 20, but Esau did not inherit the land. The descendants of Esau did not inherit the land. All that goes in with what's going on over there now. Them Palestinians, them Arabs, them Muslims, the whole crowd over there fighting against Israel. And they're all saying, we're children of Abraham. And they are, but they didn't inherit the land. Nor did the Lord come through their loins. Amen. All right, by verse 20 again, by faith. Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, I like that phrase, that sounds southern, don't it? A dying. Amen. Well, I'm just a dying to get some ice cream after the service. When he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of his departed of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. Amen and amen. Now, the teaching of these verses, and I said I'm going to break them up in a moment, but looking at them all together, they bring forward, or they're brought forward to show us that the faith of Isaac and Jacob and Joseph did, let me see what, they could have done differently, but they did what they did because they believed God. And they could not have done what they did do if they hadn't believed God. Jacob could not pronounce blessings on Joseph. I mean, Isaac could not bless, make blessings upon Jacob and Esau if he didn't believe God was going to bless those boys. He couldn't pronounce those blessings. By the way, that were prophetical and accurate. I mean, you can bless somebody whether you believe it's, they're going to be blessed or not. I think people do that all the time. Right. I was telling my wife, I was at the chiropractor this week, and there was a lady there, and she talked to just about everybody that come in there. She didn't speak to me, didn't know me, but she just knew everybody. She's talking to a lady with a kid, and then an older man that was there, and he got up and was called back. Another older man come in, he spoke to her while he's signing in, and she's on the phone talking to somebody else. And they're talking about a situation. A woman was apparently giving birth, and she's telling about it, and they were having difficulties. And here's what she said on the phone. She said, the baby's going to be all right. I'm telling you, the baby's going to be all right. I just know it. Well, I hope she did know it, and I hope the baby is all right. But a lot of times people make statements like that because they believe in the power of positive thinking rather than in the power of the truth. Right. You can turn the oven on, turn the stove top on, not the oven, stove top on, and put your hand on it and say, I don't believe it's going to burn me. I believe I'm going to be able to survive this. They don't make it so. Amen. They don't make it so. I said the stove earlier, pastor down in Tennessee said that him and his wife had to replace their oven, their stove. And he said on the door, there's a sticker that said, do not climb in stove or in oven. Do not climb in oven. And I said, anybody that's old enough to read that has better sense than to climb in an oven. But they have to put them stickers on there because some of these liberals don't have better sense. Yeah. But here's my point. You can positive believe all you want to positive believe if your belief's not based on the Word of God. And I do believe God can give us confidence. There's been times that I felt like God said to me, it's going to be all right. I didn't have any evidence. I didn't have any proof. I just felt the peace of God that it's going to be all right. But then there's other people, they'll just make that, oh, it's going to be all right when it ain't all right. Are you following me? There's been a whole lot of people said that they're not going to die, and they did die. Isaac's blessing his sons, and Jacob's going to bless his son, and Joseph's going to make this pronouncement that were accurate, but the only reason that he could make those, or they could make those accurate statements, was they knew, they got a word from God and they believed that word. That's the point I'm making. Amen. Alright, so in looking at all these men did things, all of these did things that they could not otherwise have done had they not had faith. They each pronounced prophetic benedictions, blessings on their posterity, their descendants, which years to come proved to be totally accurate. Every one of them was accomplished. Amen. I believe that Paul's purpose to put these, bring these characters to light and put these, I know he's under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. I'm not taking that away, but is to show these Hebrews that these Old Testament saints looked up, that these men looked up to. They had faith in God. They persevered. They didn't, by the way, they didn't just have every one of these accounts that we're reading now, verse 20, 21, and 22, happened as they were a dying. Amen. Wasn't men that started out good and was gone before the end. No, these were men that had the facts, the truth, the faith to the end. Amen. Amen. And so they're believing God. They're believing God about the future fulfillment of God's promises. They didn't have them in hand, but they believed that they were future. Amen. Amen. They believed it up till death. Amen. They believed that God could work beyond their lifetime. Amen. Oh, Lord, help us with that. Lord, help us with that. Sometimes we worry about things. You start getting a little bit older. Brother Ricky and I was talking in the prayer room about some of this. You start getting a little bit older. You start thinking about things you never thought about before. And one of those things is you start thinking about what's my family going to do? You start thinking, I think about, you know, what's the church going to do? Yeah. You think about this. I think I mentioned this to Jacob and Elizabeth the other night. I've only been here 12 years, but look how fast that's passed. If I can stay here that much longer, I'll be as old as Brother Hall was when he stepped down. I'll be older. Whew. What in the world is going with time? It's passing so fast. So I got to think about what's going to happen behind me. You think about things you don't normally happen. But here's what I got to believe. I got to believe that God can work beyond my lifetime. Amen. Amen. Brother Hall believed that God could work beyond his. Amen. And I believe he's still working beyond his. Amen. Right? So we got to believe that he can work beyond our lifetime. Our family can live for God. Our church can go forward for the glory of God. Amen. All right. Well, anyway, look at verse number 20. I'll give you these verses. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in Genesis chapter number 27. That's where the 40 verses were. I was thinking that's 22. That's where the verses 1 through 40 of Genesis 27 tell that story, but it's condensed to one verse, one sentence right here in Hebrews chapter number 11. The writer of Hebrews does not go into the trickery of Jacob. You remember Jacob and his mama came up with it. Well, she came up with the idea, and then he put it into practice, and they brought it to fulfillment. He don't even mention the trickery of Jacob. He just mentions Isaac blessing them. Amen. He points to the prophetic benediction upon each of Isaac's sons. Isaac was referring to events that would take place in future ages. Amen. The predictions pronounced upon Jacob and those pronounced upon Esau all came true in minute detail. It happened not all in them, but in their lineage. He talks about Esau serving Jacob. Esau never served Jacob in his lifetime. But the descendants, the Edomites, served the Israelites. And so it came true. And so that's what, as he's given this prophecy, it was a future telling of events. Amen. Now, one of the facts that shows us, I thought about this, by faith Isaac. Think about this. By faith Isaac. How was that faith that Isaac blessed Jacob when he thought he was Esau? How was it faith that Isaac blessed Esau later, but not with the blessing he wanted to bless him with? How was that by faith? Well, I think there's three things here that show us that it was faith. At least. One real good point. In Genesis chapter number 27 and verse 33, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it to you. But in Genesis 27 verse 33, the Bible says, "And Isaac trembled very exceedingly." This is when he realized that he'd been duped. "Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, 'Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me, and I have eaten all before thou camest, and have blessed him?'" And I underline this phrase, "Yea, and he shall be blessed." So when Jacob came in, Isaac said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm Esau, thine elder son." And he tricked him. And by the way, I heard John Morgan brought a good point out of that. He heard his voice and he said, "This is the voice of Jacob." But he touched him and it felt like Esau. And he said, "There's the danger of running on feelings rather than listening to the voice." Boy, it's a good point, real good point. So Isaac felt of Jacob's hands, but he had that goat skin on it, and he thought it was Esau. Smelled his garment, there was a smell of Esau, and he heard the voice, although it was the voice of Jacob, he thought it was Esau, so he blessed him. And so a little bit later, here comes Esau, and he says, who art thou? He said, "I'm Esau, thine elder son." And he says, "Who? Where is he?" But he says, "I blessed him, and he shall be blessed." You know what he's saying? He's saying, God worked it out, even though I was in confusion, God worked it out that the one got blessed that was supposed to get blessed. By the way, Rebecca had already been told, while those two sons was in the womb, that God was, that the elder was going to serve the younger, and the blessing of God is going to be on the younger. Listen to me. Jacob never did not have to deceive his dad. He could have got the blessing right if he'd have just done right. Amen. Amen. He was going to get the blessing anyway because God told him he was. But he could have got it in a blessed manner. He wouldn't have had to run to Uncle Laban's house and get tricked himself. Right? Amen. Anyway, all right. So in this story, it's obvious Isaac said, I blessed him and he's going to be blessed. You know what? I've got faith in God that what I pronounced was the word of God, even though I didn't understand it. Amen. That's what he's saying. He believed God. He believed that he had pronounced those words upon Jacob and that they were true. Even though he had been deceived by Jacob into thinking that he was blessing Esau all that time. He stood firmly on the promise and he pronounced, yea, and he shall be blessed. Isaac believed God's divine revelation so much that he could make this perfect statement of confidence in what had been said. Amen. By the way, these prophetic announcements made by Isaac, made by Jacob, made by Joseph, were not just ideas cooked up in these men's mind. Isaac's blessing upon Jacob, even when he thought it was Esau, was the blessing that he had heard from Abraham. He was talking about Abraham's God and the promises God had made upon Isaac, and that those blessings was going to be on Isaac. And he said, I'm putting them on you. Even though he thought he was Esau, he's putting them on the right one. He's putting them on Jacob. Amen. So here's the next one, verse number 21. And by the way, let me just stop and say this. You ever been confused when you was in a trial? God can still work even when we're confused. We don't have to know all about it if we just trust Him. Amen. Verse 21, by faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Now, this account of Jacob blessing the two sons of Joseph is mentioned in Genesis 48, verses 8 through 20. These two sons, this Jacob blessed all of his sons, the 12 sons of Jacob. He blessed them all in chapter number 49. But in chapter 48, before he got to them, he blessed these two sons of Joseph. The reason was he saw Joseph as the firstborn. He got the double blessing, and his two sons got the blessing in the place of those that were robbed of him. And so he talks about that, and he gives those promises. Isaac was blind, by the way. Isaac was blind when he blessed his two sons. And Jacob's blind when he's blessing these two sons of Joseph, these grandsons. Amen. Although both of these men were blinded with their physical eyes, Jacob and Isaac were insightful towards spiritual things and future events. Amen. Now, I think it's interesting. Let me see if I've got that in my notes already. Yeah, all right. Let me just say to you, there's three things I believe that prove that Jacob did this by faith. By the way, Jacob had not lived much of his life by faith. It wasn't by faith that he deceived his dad. That was by trickery. It wasn't by faith that he, in a sense, that he got all that stuff from Laban. A lot of that was trickery. That's how he lived his life. I really don't see, Jacob living by faith until he gets up there to Peniel and he wrestles with that angel of the Lord, which is the Lord himself, and he's touched by God and God changes him from there on out. Then he starts living by faith. When he goes down and I don't have time to deal with all this really, but when he's going down into Padan Aram, he stops off at Bethel and he sees that ladder stretched to heaven and he makes a promise to God that he's going to tithe, but you don't find him mentioning God while he's down there in Padan Aram. He don't even think about God while he's down there. He's thinking about old Jacob and what Jacob can do. And then God tells him to go home. And when he goes home, as he's going there, he's thinking about how he's going to have to wrestle with old Esau. And he gets up there and he's wrestling with God. He don't know who it is. It's interesting that when he stole the blessing, his daddy didn't know who he was. Now he's trying to get a blessing, and he don't know who it is.
And so he asked the question, "Who? What is thy name?" And then the angel of the Lord said, "Why are you asking me my name?" He says, "What's your name?" And he's got to confess who he really is. Amen. And he got touched by God. So now we're down to where Jacob's blessing these two sons of Joseph. He is doing this by faith. How can you? Well, he's, the Bible, if I didn't have anything else, the Bible says it was by faith that Jacob blessed them. I got to believe the Bible. Amen. I got to believe the Bible. But in that account of Genesis 48, when Jacob is blessing the two sons of Joseph, if I can use these two fellows like they're Joseph, Joseph brings them up there. So you got Ephraim and Manasseh. And here, you would think he'd reach out his hands and bless them, but he don't. He blesses them like this. And Joseph picks his hands up and tries to straighten them out. And Jacob says, "No, I'm doing what I know I'm supposed to do." He blessed them. How did he bless the younger above the elder? Again, just like he was blessed. Right? Blessed the younger above the elder. I might have said that backwards. He blessed the younger above the elder just like he had been blessed as the younger above the elder. But he did it. How did he do that? He did it by faith. He couldn't see. He asked Joseph, "Who are these?" It's as if he didn't know who those boys were. Maybe they'd grown so much since he'd seen them. And yeah, he laid his hands. The Bible talks about, I forget the word, but skillfully he laid his hands upon them and blessed them by faith. Amen. That's a blessing to me, by the way. It's a blessing to me. That even when we don't know what we're doing, if we'll just obey God, amen, he'll work it out. So there's the first account that there in Genesis, he did it by faith because he blessed them strategically. By the way, I think there's a thread that runs through the Bible. I think it's a thread all the way through. Cain was firstborn, but he wasn't the accepted. Abel was. Esau was the firstborn, but he wasn't accepted. Jacob was. Ephraim was the firstborn, but he wasn't accepted. Manasseh was, or maybe I said it backwards, whichever way it was. There's a theme that runs through the Bible that the first birth is never good enough. You got to have a second birth. Runs from Genesis all the way through the Bible that there's got to be a second birth. Amen. Amen. I think there's that same thing with the kings. King Saul, although he's chosen of God, wasn't good enough. The second king, by the way, the first king in your life, you got to get rid of him and get another king. Amen. One after God's own heart. Amen. That's exactly right. So the second way I know that Jacob's actually serving God by faith here is, you think about this. He is not in Canaan when he gives these men the blessing. When he got his blessing, he's in Canaan. When Isaac got his blessing, they're on the land that God has promised them. But when Jacob is making this blessing, he's not in Canaan. He's in Egypt. And by the way, we don't know if them two grandsons ever went to Canaan unless they went at the burial of Jacob. They was born in Egypt. They lived their whole life in Egypt, as far as we know. But he's making a promise that your descendants are going to leave this land and they're going to inherit the land that God has promised us. The whole thing was all on faith. That's the point I'm making. Amen. So the first thing is he did it strategically. Second, that he did it even though he's not in the land. And then the third thing, our text says that he blessed both the sons of Jacob. And here's a phrase that follows it. And he worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff. Amen. So here's Jacob. By the way, worship is an act of spiritual religious activity, right? Jacob, his body is weak, but his faith is still strong. Amen. He's able to continue strong in faith, giving glory to God in worship. Now, verse 22 will be my last one. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By the way, let me stop. I need to touch one thing right there. I mentioned this to Duncan and Brother Gary earlier today. I've mentioned one of the commentaries that spoke most. I've been reading several commentaries. I have read some. I already completed a bunch, but I'm reading some as I'm going through this. John Brown's commentary is not Johnny's, but it's his great, 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 who knows what. But John Brown commentary says this. He says that a famous Catholic theologian said that when Jacob worshipped leaning on the top of his staff, he said that the top of his staff had a cross on it. And that he bowed before the cross and kissed the cross. Now here's what old John Brown said about that. He said, you have got to be in some strong delusion to swallow that. So all they're trying to do is say Catholicism was in the Old Testament. By the way, there wasn't even crosses in the Old Testament. They knew the Messiah was going to die, but they didn't understand the cross. Amen. He wasn't worshiping some image. He is worshiping God. He wasn't worshiping his staff. He was weak. That's what the staff showed. His body's weak. But he's still trusting God. Amen. Now I'm back to that last verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he was a dying, isn't that what it said? When he was a dying. I just noticed my notes. I typed that in and it must have auto-corrected. It didn't like that a dying phrase. Yankees made this thing. It says when he died. That's not what the Bible said. When he was a dying. No, it is. All right, verse 22. By faith, Jacob, when he died. Okay, so I was blaming the Yankees. I'm sorry. Made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Now, somebody might ask, how could Joseph make statements commanding his bones when he's dead? He didn't say this after he died. He said this before he died. It would be like what it said about Jacob when he was a-dying. These are some of his last commands to his children, requests maybe made. He knows death is nearing, and he makes a statement that says that you're going to get out of here. And when you get out, take my bones with you. I want my bones not to be buried in Egypt. I want my bones to be buried in Canaan. Now here's something I want you to notice. I mentioned Jacob had lived most of his life not by faith, but there towards the end he's living by faith. Joseph's right the opposite. He's lived his whole life by faith. You can't find flaw in Joseph's life, not mentioned in the Bible. I'm not saying that he was perfect. I'm just saying there's no flaw mentioned. Joseph had lived his whole life by faith, and he's coming down to the end, and he's still living by faith. His faith is, by the way, he'd lived most of his life outside of the promised land. 17 years old, it looks like, when he's sold into slavery. And so he's lived the vast majority of his life in Egypt. Some of it in bondage, some of it in prison, and then some of it in the palace. And he's lived that life and he's come down to the end and he's got dying faith. And he's saying that even though I'm dying and even though I'm outside the promised land, he's saying, I want my bones carried into the promised land. Amen. He knew that his people were not going to stay in Egypt forever. Amen. Amen. He wanted his bones carried out of Egypt when they left to be taken to the promised land. This account's mentioned in Genesis chapter 50. Verses 24 and 25, Joseph had confidence, amen, and his confidence rested upon the promise that was made to Abraham and followed up by Isaac and followed up by Jacob. He's still believing those promises, amen. He's nearing death, amen. He knew that Canaan is going to be our possession. Now, I want you to get this. God told Abraham, I'm going to give you this land. He walked it, but he never owned any of it except a burying plot. As far as we know, that's all he ever owned was a cave in Machpelah that he buried Sarah in. Isaac got the promise. As far as we know, never owned one plot of land except that burying plot where Sarah's buried, and he buried Rebekah in there. And then Jacob comes along, and Jacob don't own any of that land. He buries Leah in that same burying place. Rachel's buried up under a tree by the side of the road. There's interesting things about that. But Leah, being the wife God chose, it looks like, and that the lineage of Christ would come through, is buried in the promised land. Jacob leaves the promised land, goes into Egypt. By the way, not out of the will of God. God told him to do that in the famine. And God had a plan that he's going to raise those up. By the way, there's going to move from being a family in the promised land wandering around. There's going to become a nation when they left Canaan, or when they left Egypt. There's going to become a nation, not just a family of Jacob, but a nation of Israel. And God's going to bring them up. And so Jacob said, don't bury me here, carry me back. And they carried him back and buried him in that same burial plot. Joseph is not going to get to go back, but Joseph is saying, y'all are going back, and when you go back, carry my bones too. Now, I want you to think about this. Jacob, being that close to the Pharaoh, probably could have had an immaculate tomb, because the Pharaohs had immaculate tombs. He probably could have had a very ornate sepulcher. Probably could have had a very beautiful funeral. He said, I don't want that. I don't want that. I want my bones carried back to the promised land. Amen. Now, I don't know all the answers to that, but I do. This is what I believe. I believe every one of them was looking for something beyond the grave. They're looking forward to the resurrection. Amen. I believe that. Looking forward to the resurrection. And so he wanted to be buried in Canaan, by the way, as a statement of the faithfulness of God. So all these accounts are given by faith. In my conclusion, I got 2 points. What do these statements mean to the Hebrew readers? And number two, what do they mean to us? Considering these things in conclusion. The accounts of the faith of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph have all shown that extreme trials can be endured if we believe God. That great blessings can be expected and even obtained through faith in God's Word. Amen. These last three examples especially point out that these men displayed their faith at the close of their life. Amen. At the close of their life. To me, the last words of people is important. Right? The last words of people is important. I'd like to be able to give them some last words that was faith words. Words of faith. Amen. Words of faith. Believe in God. Now, what do those statements mean to those Hebrews? It meant you can live your life and get through these extreme trials if you'll just keep believing God, and you've got to hang on to it to the end. It's not hang on to it so you can be saved, but because you really believe it, you won't turn loose of it. That's what he's saying. It's repentance not to be repented of that Jacob was talking about this morning. Amen. So then what does it mean to us? Well, I don't know what kind of trials I'm going to have to face before we get out of here. You don't either. We don't know what difficulties we're going to have to face before our life on earth is over. But we can trust God through it all. We can trust Him even when we're confused. We can trust Him even when we're blind. We can trust Him even when we don't understand. We can ask Him to strengthen our resolve to trust Him. Amen. We sing songs like, I have decided to follow Jesus. Well, we need God to strengthen our resolve. Amen. I can, I will, I do believe. We need to ask God to strengthen our resolve. Amen. I care not today what tomorrow may bring, whether sunshine or rain. Yeah, sunshine, shadow, rain, I forget. Anyway, but why? Because I know God holds it all in control. We can ask God to strengthen our faith on that and really believe what we're saying. Amen. Let's stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed as we come. They come with a song. God spoke to your heart. I want to give you opportunity. You can trust God, and you need to trust Him to the end. You need to, by the way, you need to trust Him on beyond the end. Trust Him beyond the grave, that He can and will fulfill His Word and His will. Heavenly Father, thank You for the Word of God as we've tried to preach it, tried to proclaim the truth. Lord, I pray that You'd help us. Thank You for helping my throat. I feel like it's much clearer right now. I thank You for it. I pray, Father, that You'd help us if there's one among us or more than one that's never trusted You for salvation. Lord, I pray they'd look to the Son and the resurrection of the Son, and they'd believe that and be saved by the grace of God. Lord, I pray that the saint would believe You to the end. Help us in these trials when we don't understand, just to keep trusting. When we're blinded, we don't know what we're... Lord, we can trust You. Help us, Lord, to do that. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing. As we sing, if the Lord spoke to you, you need to come. You mind the Lord.